5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12.
When
Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him.
He opened
his mouth and said, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted those who are before you. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for bringing us before your throne of grace this morning. Lord, our hearts are filled with joy and celebration on this resurrection morning. Lord, you rose again, you sent it on high to the right hand of the throne, and today you've given us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads us on the path that we ought to walk. Lord, through the Holy Spirit, may you reveal more of your word to us in our hearts. That we may find you each time we look into your word. And that we may hear your voice. You said, and you lead us on the right path. Lord, thank you that through your word you often guide us to walk on this path, this right path that pleases you. Lord, may you have mercy on us this morning and may you hear our prayer. We pray this in the Lord Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, we'll be looking in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. The point of Matthew is to talk about Jesus as the coming king. So it's recorded in Matthew, the first thing that Jesus said in his ministry is, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Because the
king is here, and people ought to, all should repent and accept him as king. So in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus preaches the kingdom of God, and those of us who must enter the kingdom become citizens of this kingdom. And how to become citizens of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where God reigns. Kingdom of God is when all things in the world follow by the rule of the king.
So, 当一个人蒙恩信主以后，就进到神的国里面，就进到天国里面。
So, when we believe, when a believer believes, they enter into this realm, the kingdom of God.
所以主耶稣曾经对那个尼哥底母说：“我实实在在告诉你。”
That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, "He said, truly, I say to you."
人若不重生，就不能见神的国；人若不是从水和圣灵生，就不能进神的国。
One cannot enter the kingdom of God unless he's been reborn again.
人怎样进到神的国里面呢？是借重生。
The way to enter the kingdom of God is to be reborn.
借着圣灵而生，然后进到神的国里面。
Be born again and enter into the kingdom of God.
所以每一个基督徒重生得救，基督徒都在神的国里面，都在神的国里，哎，都在天国里面。
So all believers who have been born again are in the kingdom of God.
所以法利赛人曾经问主耶稣说。
So the Pharisees once questioned Jesus. They asked, when will the kingdom of God come? He says, the kingdom of God is in your hearts, in your midst. The kingdom of God is within us, it's in the church today. The church is the kingdom of God. So in Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul tells us, once we become believers, we're no longer foreigners or sojourners. We are members of God's household in His kingdom. So once we believe, we're all saints, we're all part of the kingdom of God. So where is the kingdom of God? It's in the church. It's in the midst of the brethren. But it seems as if God's reign is not complete yet, as if He's not able to exercise His full authority on earth.
所以等到有一天神的国降临的时候,
But one day when the kingdom of God comes.
当主耶稣第二次来到地上设立国度的时候，神才能真正在完全掌权。
Until Jesus comes again and establishes His kingdom on earth, then He will have full authority.
那国才能完全在那边显明出来。
Only then will the kingdom of God be made manifest fully.
所以说第十一章那里告诉我们。
So it tells us in the Bible.
是当道童末次吹响的时候，世上的国要成为我主和主基督的国。
In Revelation, it tells us that once the seventh angel sounds his trumpet, all things will become under the kingdom of God.
都要做王，直到永永远远。
And Jesus will reign as king forever and ever.
所以在马太福音第七五章到第七章呢，这一段人称为是一个天国立法的一个宣告。
So in Matthew chapter 5-7, it is the proclamation of this heavenly law.
或是说山上的教训。
Or the Sermon on the Mount.
因为主耶稣在那里坐在山上。
The Lord was there on the mountain, on the mount.
山在圣经里面是代表预表的国度。
Mountain symbolizes the kingdom.
所以主在这里来宣告天国律法，来宣告天国百姓应该是怎样的光景。
So the Lord here on the mount is proclaiming this law of heaven and the law of this kingdom.
说到这个天国使命，在他们身上有一些的特性，有一些的品格。
And he talks about how the citizens of this kingdom have these special characteristics.
所以这个天国使命就是指的今天基督徒来说的。
The citizens of the kingdom of heaven are exactly what Jesus told us here.
他们是天国使命，所以在他们身上应该显出某种特性品格来。
It's because they're citizens of the kingdom of God that they should have the special nature and characteristics.
这样的人是一个有福的人。
These people are blessed.
并且他们所得的福是一个属天，是天国的福。
And they're blessed with this heavenly blessing.
并且说到这一般天国子民，他们在地上，在世上的时候，他们应该有怎么样的性质显出？
And these citizens of the kingdom of God, what kind of how should they conduct themselves on earth?
他们是盐，他们是光。
They are the salt of the earth. They are the light of the earth.
他们因着是光，他们就成为地上天国的一个见证。
As lights on this earth, they are heavenly testimonies.
他们是盐，他们在地上，在那些的话，不叫这个罪恶能够散漫，开来。
They are the salt of the earth that impedes the growth, the expansion of sin.
所以我们看今天就是因为地上神的百姓，老实说不多太少。
But the people of God who are here on earth are just too few. We see that that sin has spread very rapidly. I know a couple of years ago, the NYPD wanted to increase the number of police officers on the streets.
警察在增加。
They wanted to increase the NYPD force.
都来不及来跟那个罪恶散漫的速度还快。
In other words, they were unable to keep up with the rising rate of crime.
所以天国的使命在地上，他们应该是成为一般光，一般盐。
But as children of God, as citizens of this kingdom, we should be light, we should be salt. So on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us the principles that these citizens should live by. And these teachings on the Mount were directed at the disciples. It wasn't directed at the general populace. Because those disciples were the very first citizens of the kingdom. They were just regular people following after the Lord. These disciples heard the gospel of the kingdom and accepted him and they entered into this kingdom of God. So likewise today, we believe in the Lord, we become his children, and we enter into the kingdom, become citizens of his kingdom. For us who were saved by grace, we should have these characteristics as listed for as citizens of his kingdom. We should have this experience. I shared before in some past sharings that blessed are the poor in spirit. It emphasizes those who are poor in spirit, they are blessed. This poor, this poverty is not poverty and not materialistic poverty, but spiritual poverty. As if in their spirit, these people, the citizens of the kingdom, should have this dearth of spirit. In what way are they poor though? They have this feeling that they are lacking in how much they know God. As if there's some sort of lack and need within them. They feel this lack, this need to have more experience in God. They feel that they are lacking in God's holiness and righteousness and mercy. They feel like they have extreme lack of God's mercy, righteousness, and holiness. They feel a lack and they want the Lord to fill them completely. They feel that their spiritual life is very poor and immature. So they have this desire to have more abundance from God. Because they have this deep need within them, they have this feeling of insufficiency. And they feel very dissatisfied. Brothers and sisters, in our own lives, we often have these feelings of dissatisfaction. As if our material resources are not enough. But this poor in spirit, they're not lacking, they're not dissatisfied materialistically. But dissatisfied on how much their growth in the spirit. This Augustine says, St. Augustine said, this is a holy dissatisfaction. Our dissatisfaction for material things of the world is an unholy dissatisfaction. But if you feel empty inside because you desire to have more of God to fill you, that's a holy dissatisfaction. This type of satisfaction is one that pleases God. So someone who is poor in this way feels empty in the spirit because they desire more of God. This is what it means to be blessed according to be poor in the spirit. Because they are, the kingdom of God is theirs. The abundance of the kingdom of heaven will be given to them. So those who are truly poor in spirit in this manner are blessed before the Lord. So let's today look at the second and third types of blessed people. Those who mourn are blessed. For they shall be comforted. We know that people, we today living in this world, there are many reasons, many things that make us sorrowful and mourn. If our friends or loved ones suffer from illness and die, we feel so sorrow, we feel such sorrow, we mourn for them. Just like Lazarus, when he died, his sisters, Martha and Mary, they mourned for him. Like in the book of Acts, after Paul finished speaking with the elders, and he told them, we will not see each other again after this day. And the elders were very sad and sorrowful. Sometimes when we are being disciplined by the Lord, we don't have any joy. So we are affected by our environment, and we often feel sorrow and sadness. There are many things that we encounter in our life that will also make us sorrowful. We're like anybody else in this world. There are many things that in this world that will make us lose our peace and we become sad. But we know that the Lord does not comfort every type of sadness. Sometimes we feel sorrowful over worldly things. There are also sorrows that come from not being able to satisfy our fleshly desires. Or we're unable to live the lives that we want, we feel sorrowful as well. The Lord says that the sorrow from the world produces death. But sorrow by the purpose of God will have a repentance without regret. So we see that sorrows, there are many reasons for why we have sorrow. Sorrow comes in many different conditions. But here, the Lord says, blessed are those who mourn, who mourn. What kind of people are these? He's not talking about the general mourning. He's talking about those who are first poor in spirit and then they're in mourning. It was said that these beatitudes, these eight blessings, are for those who are poor in spirit. This is being poor in the spirit is the foundation of these blessings.
那个光景继续一个表现出来。
One must be poor and empty in spirit before they can receive these blessings, enter into this condition.
所以我刚才说在这里讲了几个福的时候，那个次序是有它意义的。
So there is a reason for the order in which the Lord is speaking.
所以一个哀痛的人呢，是因为他先是一个邻里贫穷的。
Those who mourn are those who are first poor in spirit.
因为他在神面前，他看见他自己的光景。看见他自己属灵的贫穷缺少。
Because they before God, they see their own condition and how much they lack before God.
在那里，在缺少神那种性情、那种美丽的一个性质。
They see how they lack this godliness, this nature of God.
他也常常没有按照神的心意在过生活，得罪神自己。
They did not live according to God's will and sin.
他们那几天自己又不提，结果在那里得罪神，他在那里面就有一个感伤、感恩、悲哀。
They live according to their flesh, and they sin against God, and they have this sorrow in their hearts.
所以这样的悲痛是因为这个光景所带来一个情形。
So this sorrow, this mournfulness comes from this condition.
若是人是这样的哀痛的话，他必得安慰。
If they mourn because of this, they will be comforted. Just like David when he sinned against God. In Psalm 51, he says it. He asked God to forgive him of his sins.
按照当时旧律法底下，大卫应该犯罪以后，他应该来到神面前来献祭。
According to the old law, after sinning, David should have brought a sacrifice before the Lord.
在那诗篇里面，他却这样说。
But in Psalm, he said this.
他说：“神，你不喜悦祭物，不喜爱祭物。”
He said, "Lord, you do not delight in sacrifices."
喜爱我就献上燔祭。
If you did, I would give you a burnt offering.
燔祭你也不喜欢，神所要的祭是什么祭呢？
But if the Lord does not even accept sacrifices,or the burnt offering, what does the Lord want?
他说神所要祭乃是个忧伤的灵，人啊，忧伤痛苦的心，你必不轻看。
Well, he says the Lord wants one who has a broken and contrite heart.
所以大卫已经看见了。
So David saw this truth.
原来就那些律法所要求人要献祭的事情。
He saw through the true meaning of all the sacrifices in the old law.
在神面前，神父说你要献祭，你要献赎罪祭。
The law, according to the law, if you sin, you must bring a burnt offering before the Lord. But David saw that the Lord did not want the sacrifices, the sacrifices themselves. He did not want the physical sacrifices of these animals. But rather,having a broken and contrite heart as you bring these sacrifices. The Lord is looking at the heart if they are truly repentant.
那里面哀痛，那里面悲伤。
Are they sorrowful? Are they mourning after their sin?
那其实他是在行了许多不得神喜的事情。
Are they mourning after the things that they've done that displease the Lord?
所以他献上那个哀伤痛悔的灵。
And so with this broken and contrite heart, they offer up these sacrifices. These sacrifices offered with this mentality are accepted by God, and God will comfort them. So the citizens of the kingdom of heaven should also have this same nature, this broken heart. The Lord has shown us our own condition in many areas,They are not pleasing to God. We say and do many things that often bring sorrow to God's heart. Well, brothers and sisters, if we have this broken and contrite heart, if we mourn, we will be comforted. We are blessed. Brothers and sisters, this is what it means to be truly mournful.
因为在那里看见我们这个人在神面前实在不能过一个好的一个属灵生活。
When we truly see the truth for ourselves that we are unable to live this life that is pleasing to God.
用什么千古使命作为神的儿女，我们是不是常常有这样的情形
？Brothers and sisters, do we not have this condition as citizens of the kingdom? A brother once asked, when is the last time we need to repent? Is it when we first believed in the Lord? Is that our last act of repentance? Or should we consistently have this heart of mourning before the Lord? Because under the light of God, we see for ourselves that there's nothing good in us. That under the light of God, we have this heart of repentance. Brothers and sisters, this is the nature that the children, that the citizens of the kingdom should have. Sometimes we are grieved because our family and friends around us don't believe in Jesus. But we thank the Lord that He does not want us to be slaves, to be saved. So we see that on his final trip to Jerusalem, he saw the city of Jerusalem and wept. He says, if you only knew the things of peace concerning you.
And
how the Lord longed to gather up his children like a mother hen. Her chicks. But they were unwilling. When the Lord said, but they were unwilling, this expresses the sorrow in God's heart. Brothers and sisters, this is what it means to be those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. In Romans, Paul says he is mourning and sorrowful for his kinsmen. Because his kinsmen do not believe in Jesus Christ. And he's mourning after them because of this. Because they were his kinsmen were God's elect. All the laws and the covenants and promises were given to them. But when Jesus came to them on earth, they rejected him. They did not believe in him. They did not believe the Lord. Because of this, the Lord, his heart was broken. But so these type of people in this manner receive comfort. Paul knew that the promises of God would be fulfilled. They are not temporary. Their unbelief is only temporary, and one day this natural olive branch will be grafted back to the olive tree. One day the entire household will be saved. This is the comfort that was given to Paul. That his faith will be strengthened. Brothers and sisters, when we pray in church, we hear the urgency in how we pray for our fellow friends and family who don't believe. And when they pray, they pray in sorrow and they pray in tears. They're mourning. They so desire that their friends and family, these people, would come to believe in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, these are those who mourn. And the Lord will comfort them. That the Lord will promise that their prayers will be answered. It will not be in vain. That through their prayers and through God listening to their prayers, those who they pray for will one day come to believe. Brothers and sisters, these are those who mourn.
有什么？有时候我们看见今天地上许多不幸的人、世人，因着犯罪缘故，带许多灾难，带许多苦难。
Brothers, as we see so much disaster and hardship and trials that come about from those who do not believe.
有什么看见这样光景的时候，我们里面是不是有一种感觉，一种觉得好像难过的感觉呢？
Brothers, do we not feel sorrow when we see these things in the world?
今天我们看见地上天灾人祸那么多。
We see so much natural disasters and calamities all over the world. Even if it doesn't happen to us personally or in people that we know, even if we sometimes feel these things are far away from us, they're not really related to us, but as citizens of the kingdom, we should mourn after because of these things. Because this is not what God intended when He created man. This is the result of sin. This is why the Lord pours us to often pray for those in the world. And it's because the world is in disaster and suffering. Those who don't believe are often suffering like this. How much more so for those who believe in the Lord? So we must pray for this sinful generation. Bible tells us of the righteous man Lot. When the Lord was smiting Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord wanted to lead Lot and his family out of those cities before he smote them. But we see in Genesis that Lot seemed to be hesitant or reluctant to leave. As if he still had something to stay behind for in those cities. So the Lord sent his angels to grab them and take them out of the city. But in 2 Peter, we see another aspect to Lot. We see that in 2 Peter says that the righteous man Lot who dwelt among these people, he felt sorrow every day because of their unlawful deeds. So we see that Lot did sense the lawlessness he did have the sorrow because of the deeds that were happening around him. He knew that destruction was imminent. He knew that if these people in these cities did not repent, they would be destroyed. Brothers and sisters, when we look at the condition of the church today on earth, do we not mourn a little bit? We see the fallen nature of many of God's children. A lot of children of God who are indifferent to the things of God. They do not have this fervor for the Lord. When we see this condition, are we not mournful? When we see some abnormal things happening in some churches, are we not mournful? Do we just sit back and complain about them? Or do we come before the Lord with this heart of mourning for them? Should we not be praying for the children of God? Brothers and sisters, we truly lack this feeling, this sense. We must ask for the Lord's mercy. We should be, as children, as citizens of the kingdom, be those who mourn. Because those who mourn, God will comfort them. And the Lord We'll see that there's hope in us.
神在他家中仍然是居所位，仍然是作王掌权的。
Where in the churches, the Lord God holds first place.
我们不灰心，不丧胆。
That we do not lose hope or heart.
在里面，我们要坚持，持守那永远的生命。
But we persist and hold fast to the hold fast to the life.
我们不要因着光景而落下去了，受他们影响。
We will not be fall into that.Fallen nature. But we're proactively praying for the church and the children of God. That He will restore His children and His church. Brothers and sisters, this is what it means to be those who mourn. And these people are blessed. Even though many things in this world cannot satisfy us. But if we bring them before the Lord and we believe in Him and believe and have faith in Him, we will experience this blessedness. And God will comfort us. The comfort does not only cover the things of today. But when one day when the kingdom of God descends, through Isaiah the prophet, he says, He will give to those in Zion a garland instead of ashes. The oil of gladness for sorrow. Praise instead of sorrow. They will become oaks of righteousness planted by God. And that they will be glorified. We thank the Lord that we will be those who mourn. Whether it be today, we desire the comfort. But also in the future, when the kingdom of heaven descends, God will comfort us all. The Lord will give them this, they will clothe them with this robe of joy. God will give them the ultimate comfort, and that is glorification. Brothers and sisters, these people are truly blessed. When we serve or whatever we do, oftentimes we suffer or suffer hardship. If we suffer for the Lord, for Christ, we will be comforted. And through this comfort, our spiritual condition will be lifted up once again. So we must live continually in the state of mourning. This mourning isn't for simple things around us, but for the condition of ourselves and for the church. Because people who mourn in this way are blessed, says the Lord. And they will be comforted. The next is, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. So first, they are those who mourn. Only after they are mournful can they be gentle. Gentle means gentleness in the heart and humility. Those who mourn already feel that they're weak, and because from this weakness, this gentleness arises. So these Beatitudes, their order matters. First, there are those who are poor in spirit, which leads to mourning. And through this mourning, their heart becomes soft. And they develop this nature of humility and gentleness.
柔软的人, 他就很容易顺服神,
and those who are gentle obey God more easily.
他不会刚毅,
they won't be stubborn and rebelling against the Lord or rejecting the Lord. They're able to obey and go with whatever God brings their way. And to people as well, they're gentle. Because they see for themselves that they are no better than them. And those who are gentle do not care about those who slander against them or try to hurt them. And gentleness, as the gentleness can be described as if our muscle, when it becomes soft. If we press hard on this soft muscle, they will cave in. But very quickly, they will return to the original shape. Because they're soft. But if they're hard, if you hardly strike against it, it leaves a permanent mark. And it's impossible to recover that. So those who are gentle and humble before the Lord, it's not easy for them to get hurt. Many of us often say, oh, I'm hurt here, I'm hurt by this, I'm hurt by that. And I don't come to church because I was hurt before. I don't go to church because of the hurts I've suffered. Of course, those who hurt them should be held responsible. And they should not continue to hurt others. But if we are truly to have this gentleness before the Lord, we are not easily bruised. No matter how others treat us, with this heart of gentleness, we can tolerate it. We will not be toppled because of this one word or this one action by a brother or sister. We also know gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You see that Jesus was a gentle person. The Bible tells us that Jesus was like the lamb brought to slaughter and a sheep under his shears, not making any sound. And he did not fight back at all. Because the Lord was obeying the will of the Father. He says, this is the cup given to me by the Father. How can I not drink it? Jesus was a gentle person, so he was able to accept the cup given to him by the Father. And he obeyed the will of the Father, even to death on the cross. He was insulted, but did not insult back. But entrusted himself to the one who judges righteously. Brothers and sisters, this is a gentle person. So, when we say we have a heart of gentleness and humility, this is the nature that a citizen of the kingdom of heaven should have. You see that Moses is also a humble person. The Bible tells us that Moses was humble more than anybody on earth. So in some translations, it's translated as humble, and it can also be translated as gentle. We see that Moses was humble and gentle more than anyone on earth. So how was Moses gentle? He led the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. Whenever the Israelites encountered any hardship, they blamed Moses. But Moses accepted all their blame and endured. Being gentle does not mean being weak. Rather, gentleness is a sign of strength. They're able to face whatever circumstance. He was able to endure whatever condition. So we can say those who are gentle are those who have true strength. But what if Moses was not gentle? He was very stubborn. He was very hard-hearted. How would he have been able to tolerate all the blame and complaints from the Israelites? Many Israelites thought Moses brought them out to the wilderness to harm them. They complained to Moses and said, "You lead us out here into the wilderness to die? Is it that there's no more graveyards in Egypt?" They were at a loss for why they had to leave Egypt at all. But they were complaining and grumbling, mourning under enslavement by the Pharaoh. And God heard their cries and sent Moses to lead them out of that bondage. And God did for them and led them into the wilderness, but when they encountered hardship, they blamed Moses. They started saying, "When we were in Egypt, we had all this food to eat. But now we're in the wilderness, we have nothing. They were complaining that we didn't even have this basic necessity of water. In modern day terms, they didn't have any human rights. Basic human rights. They ate manna every day. They ate manna every day until they were sick of it. They probably felt nauseous after a while when they saw manna. This is the condition of the world. If we were given hamburgers and pizza to eat every day, would you be able to stomach it? If you were able to stomach it after a while, that you're already pretty good. If you eat the same thing for 3 meals every day for an entire year, for 40 years, will you be sick of it? I would. But thank the Lord that Moses was a gentle person. If he was hard-hearted and rigid, and contended with them every day, how would Moses have been able to lead them anywhere? How did he get the Israelites to obey him? Because those who are gentle are blessed. They shall inherit the earth. We see that when people of this world are fighting over a piece of land, when they want to invade and occupy a piece of land, they use weapons. Many countries, they use their military power to fight over a border. And usually those with the superior military strength are able to take over that piece of land. But here, the Bible tells us the opposite. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. This earth, this is not talking about the physical land. This earth is speaking of the land that the Lord promised to give to Abraham. The promised land, his inheritance. And Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt to inherit, to possess that land, that very land. For it to be their inheritance. What is land? The land is from which all abundance grows.
今天来说，好像今天地上许多丰富也都是从这块地。The
abundance that we have today comes from land.
不管是物质，或者是植物啊，那些甚至那些金属东西，也都是从这块地。Be
it plants or minerals, they all come from the ground, from the earth.
所以这一块地乃是说到基督他自己。So
this land, actually, this earth speaks to Jesus Himself, Christ Himself.
这个他们是一个温柔的人。
For those who are gentle, they don't fight over anything. Nor are they fighting over the materialistic things of this earth. But rather, the Lord has given them the earth. The most fertile of all this land is that promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey. A land filled with forests and fruits and all sorts of resources. There was all sorts of precious metals. But that land represents Jesus Christ Himself. All the abundance, all the fullness dwells within Jesus Christ. So this earth is inherited by those who are gentle. Well, all the abundance of Christ becomes their inheritance, their abundance. And they become this blessed and rich people. Brothers and sisters, do we have this desire to become these blessed person? We ought to learn how to be gentle. We must learn and strive to be gentle before the Lord. And what the Lord has given us, we must learn obedience. If we are able to obey and learn, then we can receive some of that abundance. And that the gentleness of the Lord will become a part of us. As we walk this spiritual path, we will encounter many hardships. But if we are gentle before the Lord, if we are not struggling or resisting, but rather obey, not only in the world, but also in God's house. And I know that those who have served before know that the active service in the church is not easy. But if we have this heart of gentleness and we're learning how to endure and patient, and we wait patiently on Him, God is merciful and gracious. And we are under the yoke of the Lord. And we're able to taste a portion of this abundant land. We can partake in some of the fruits and waters of this land that will supply us. If we maintain this spirit, this mentality, and if we inherit this earth, then our life will grow. Thank God that these people are blessed. And we must learn together how to become these people. Because we all of us are already citizens of the kingdom. We are already members of God's household, of the kingdom of heaven. And the life of God is already within us. And this life leads us. Although these words are not easy to hear. Especially the verse where it says, you must be perfect because your Father is perfect. Can you imagine the disciples when they heard the Lord said that they can eat of his flesh and drink of his blood?
他们说这话甚难，许多人就退去了。
He says these words are hard to hear, and then many left because of them.
当时在那说，你们要完全像你们天父完全说，我们是觉得说这话甚难。
And when he said, "You must be perfect, like your Father in heaven is perfect," this is also difficult to hear.
是不是我们也就这样退去了？
Well, we, because of this difficulty, withdraw. We thank the Lord. The reason we've been called the children of God, because we have the life of our Father in heaven, of God, living within us. Not because we ourselves are perfect like God. But we're perfect because He gave His life to us. And through many events in our lives, in our environment, He accomplishes His work in us. Just like in Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us that those who are called by God, those who are called by His purpose, He will cause all things to work together for good. And mold them into the image of His Son. The life of Christ may be made manifest and mature in us to His full stature. And to become perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect. This is the final objective that the Lord wants for us. We thank God. This is something that we must do. We can't look at ourselves and say we can't do it, look at other people and say they can't do it. But we must know that one day when the Lord comes again, we'll be transformed and have this glorified body like our Lord. This is when the ultimate objective of God will be accomplished. And today we're living in this hope. Because the will of God will be accomplished. This is the foundation of our faith. This is our glorious hope. So we must learn, we must hearken to these words of Jesus and become citizens of the kingdom. We must be gentle so that we will inherit the earth and all the abundance in Christ. And the Lord lead us graciously. When we encourage each other with these words and walk according to that which the Lord has given us. This concludes my sharing. Our brother, give us a concluding prayer. So our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we truly thank you for your words of encouragement today. Continue to pursue. Continue to lead us and guide us. Again, we thank you for all you have done for us. Pray that you will continue to be with us this rest of this day. Pray in the Lord Jesus' name.